The Apostle Paul writes, I don't want to be found having a righteousness of my own, because he can't. But he says, instead, what I want is to be found in Christ with the righteousness that God gives to me through faith. So a question then, that being the case, then why does Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40 and verse 41 say, save yourselves? What is meant by saving yourselves? Can we do that? When Jeff read the scripture just a moment ago, his translation says, be saved. Instead of the idea of saving yourselves, it was be saved, but it means the same thing. When the Apostle Peter encouraged or motivated that crowd in Acts chapter 2 to be saved, he was in essence telling them there was something they needed to do. And in that sense, he also will have it expressed in other translations of save yourselves. So what does that mean? And how does this all work together? And how can we save ourselves when God says that all the righteousness that you do is nothing but filthy rags? That you cannot save yourselves. And that our salvation is because of what Christ has done for us. Then what does all this mean? Well, maybe we get some help if we go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And we look at verses 8 through 10. And the Apostle Paul writes this. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. For we are, I'm sorry, verse 9, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you get confused when you read that? Does that seem like a contradictory statement from beginning to end? Well, it's not. So let's take a look at it again. It is by grace. That's a gift from God. It is by grace from God that you have been saved through faith. If it is by God's grace that every human being is saved, period, and Jesus died for every human being, and the death that he died on the cross paid for the sins of every human being, and that's all true, then how can anybody be lost? How can Jesus even state that those who will be saved are few in comparison with those that will be lost? But if it is by grace, period, and if it is by what God has done through Jesus, and what God did through Jesus was for the whole world, then how can anybody be lost? This phrase, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. The ones who receive this grace are the ones who come to God through faith. What does that mean? Well, just hold on. We're going to get there. And this is not from yourselves, this salvation. It's not because you've earned it. It's not because you deserve it. It's the gift of God. And it's given to those who come to faith. It's not by works. You're not saved because you've earned it or deserved it. It's not because of what you've done. Not because of how good you are, so that nobody can boast. But then look at what he says next. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. There's works used in two different senses. You're not going to work to earn your salvation. But you're going to work. You're going to do the things that God wants you to do, if you're going to be saved. But in all of those things that you do, they are because you believe in Jesus. They are not because you have a certain goal to reach in order to have heaven. They're not because you have a certain amount of things you must do in order to be in heaven. You're simply going to do good works by your faith in Christ Jesus. And God prepared in advance, before the world was ever made, those things that He wants us to do. Those works He wants us to be involved in. And they all fall under the category of that word, faith. So how do we do this? And how do we put this together to understand these works? This is a very confusing passage of Scripture for a lot of people. It's a very difficult passage of Scripture to understand. So when Peter said in Acts chapter 2, save yourselves, what in the world was he talking about? Let's go take a look at it. I want you to go back to chapter 2 and look at what Peter has to say. You remember, he has just convinced the individuals that this Jesus was no longer in the grave because he had been raised by God from the grave. He had appeared to the apostles for some 40 days. As a matter of fact, he had just ascended into heaven just 10 days before the words that are spoken in Acts chapter 2. He'd only been gone now for 10 days. And still the city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. And the apostle Paul says, I want you to know that the grave was not able to hold him. He's been raised from the dead. He has ascended to the Father. And he sits now at the throne at the right hand side of God. Sitting on the throne of God in heaven. And he has been made by God both Lord and Christ. This Jesus you crucified. He's the Messiah. And he now sits in heaven with God. As Lord and Messiah. Just as the Old Testament prophets had been telling all of us. When those people heard that, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, what do we need to do? And he didn't say nothing. What do we need to do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Save yourselves from this generation of people that are paying no attention to God. Save yourselves. How do you do that? There's something to be believed. There's something to be trusted. There's something to be received. This salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ is ours through faith. That means there's something to be believed. There's something to be trusted. There's something to be received. In Acts 2 and verse 40 and verse 41, the Bible tells us, those who accepted his words, those who received his words, were baptized into Christ. And there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Those who accepted this message, they were baptized, about 3,000 of them. Not everybody that was there. Not everybody who heard what Peter say about Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. But all of those who accepted it. All of those who believed it. All of those who trusted it. And then they did a simple thing of being baptized into Christ. Because they believed what God said. And they did what God instructed. They didn't earn anything. They didn't deserve anything. But they had now received this grace through faith, through believing what God said and what Jesus said. They had to listen to what God said, and they had to respond in the way that God said to respond. That is saved through faith. Faith is hearing what God has to say and doing it. Faith is putting trust in what God has to say. And these individuals received this grace of God through faith by listening to what God said and responding in the way God said to respond. That's what they did. And that's what all who are saved will do. This doesn't stop. This is something that continues. Do we save ourselves? We go back to the verse just very quick and look at it again. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. You're saved by grace, but it's through faith. Not everybody's going to be saved, even though God's grace is offered to everyone. Why? Because they don't listen to what he says. They don't respond in the way that he says to respond. They don't pay attention to him. This is a gift from God. It's not something you earn or deserve. But there's things for all of us to do. Do you think you can be saved if you're never forgiving? Do you think you can be saved if I don't take a look at Christ and see how he lived his life and the forgiveness that he had, and yet I refuse to be forgiving toward those that do something wrong against me? Do you think I'll be saved by God's grace? By refusing to listen to and pay attention to what he says to do? I will not. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not something we've earned or deserved, but we know that God wants us to do some things. And what we do is listen to him, pay attention to him, and respond to him. Now, let's put this all together and look at how this continues. And I want you to go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read several verses in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 11, and in these first 11 verses, I want you to notice what Paul is doing. He's saying, here is Jesus. Here is what he has done for us. You need to remember him, and you need to become like him. You need to remember what he was like and what he has done for you, and then you need to be like he was. And how he would have you to be. Read with me. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, do you? I belong to Christ. If I remain faithful to Christ, Christ will say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Father. You are a child of God. Is there any encouragement in belonging to Jesus? Is there any encouragement in being united with Christ? It's all of life. It's the whole purpose for living. It is eternal life with God as God's child. Is there any comfort from his love? If there's any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. What have you received from being united with Christ? And be like him with the rest of the world. Having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, because he didn't. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking for your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage or something to be held on to. Instead, he emptied himself. He made himself as nothing, and he took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is there any joy in knowing Jesus? Then be like him. That's this faith. This faith is me responding to the love and the gift of God through Jesus Christ by allowing Jesus to be what I pattern my life after. Me to become like him. Now look at these next verses. As Paul has written this about Jesus Christ, we're just going down through verse 18. Start reading in verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, what are they doing? They're listening to Jesus. And they're striving to be like him. Just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Their faith in Jesus and their striving to be like him because they trust him. They believe him. They want to be like him. Is increasing even in the absence of Paul. Continue to work out your salvation. There's that phrase again. That working out your salvation. Just like Peter said, work out your own salvation. Now, here is Paul writing to the church at Philippi and say, just as you have continued to obey even more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. How do you do that? Really, another way of expressing it would be demonstrating that you're saved. By demonstrating your faith in Jesus Christ. Continue to demonstrate that faith in Jesus. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. When you listen to God and trust him to be right, and you strive to follow him, it is God, then, who is working in you and through you to accomplish his will. To accomplish the good works he wants you to do. Look at how he describes it. The next verse. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Be what Jesus was. Do everything without arguing and complaining. When did he ever argue? When did he ever complain toward God about what was expected of him? Do everything without arguing and complaining so that you can become blameless and pure and become very children of God as you strive to become like Christ. Then when you become in your generation these people who belong to God, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. As you do what? Hold firmly to the word of life. So how do we do this? You trust and obey. Because there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. So we trust him to be right. That's faith. We respond to what he says by following it. That's faith. So we receive this salvation in Christ Jesus, not because we earn it or deserve it, not because we're perfect. Because you're trusting and obeying when you've done something wrong and you realize it's wrong because that's not what God wanted me to do. And you acknowledge that wrong before God because I didn't do what you wanted me to do. And I ask you to forgive me. And you know you're forgiven. Because you are responding in faith. It's not living perfectly. It's not living a life without fault. It is living a life that is holding firmly to the word of life. Paying attention to it. Listening to it. Yielding to it. Responding to it. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. If you remain faithful to the word of Christ, then what I have done, Paul said, and all of my work, because he's written these words for us, as have the other apostles, then all the work that I did will not be in vain. And I will not have run in vain. I will have declared God's word, and you'll be the results of it. You'll be the fruit of it. Because you listened to his words, and you submitted to them. But even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. We keep listening to God's word and doing things his way. That's a life of faith. We keep listening to what God says, and we do what he says in the way he says to do it. That is a life of faith. And by this, by listening to what he says and doing things in the way he wants them done, we demonstrate our faith in him. And so we understand what Paul means when he says, you are saved by grace through faith. Well, Paul, if we're saved by grace, then why isn't everybody saved? Because it's through faith. Well, Paul, what does through faith mean? It means you listen to what God says and you keep doing it. You listen to what he says and you strive to follow him and allow what he says to correct you. Then you are saved by grace through faith. And you will become the people God would have you to be. And you will walk in the image and the likeness of Jesus. So there's something for us to do. We don't earn anything when we do it. We don't deserve anything when we do it. And it's just simply a matter of saying, yes, Lord, I believe you. Yes, Lord, I trust you. Yes, Lord, because I believe you and because I trust you, I'll do what you ask. And forgive me when I don't. Are you in Christ? Have you done what God says to do? The message Peter gave in Acts chapter 2 is the same message that's delivered throughout the rest of the New Testament. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're willing to put off the things that you've been doing wrong and turn your life over to Christ. You're baptized into him for the remission of your sins. And you rise from that grave to walk in a new way of living. A new way of living washed by the blood of Christ, and a new way of living of being what Christ would have me to be. We become his people. If you're ready to become a Christian, or you need to come home to Christ, we offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.